And like I said earlier today, what an overwhelming response. I talked to a pastor friend of mine. He goes, brother, he goes, that is a miracle. That is just a miracle, the way those people stepped up and gave. I said, it is. It's just God working in his people. And, you know, anytime we give above and beyond what God's expectations are for us, I'm sure it's a blessing to him, as it'll be a blessing to others involved in it as well. The preacher last night, when I talked to him about Chris, he said, do you want me to tell him about the offering, or do you want it to be a surprise? I said, go ahead and tell him. He's going to find out anyway. You know, and that way he can begin the plan, and, you know, where they can. I said, we're just leaving it up to him. He knows what's going on in Israel. He'll help out where he needs to help out. So again, I just offer my praise to God on your behalf for everyone that's participated in that offering. You know, this subject of finances really cuts to the quick of some people's hearts, and you know, and I'm not insinuating anything about anybody here today. I just know sometimes when you preach on a subject like this that either people tense up, they white knuckle through the flight, you know, they just kind of tune you out or anything like that, or sometimes they don't come, and I'm not saying that about anybody here today, because this church is overwhelmingly generous. But I have a video that many of you have seen before. I think it's a classic video, man. It says it all when it comes to the misconceptions about giving and how people give. I like to tell folks that if you don't have a sense of humor, plug your ears, close your eyes, turn around, face the back so you can't see it, because it is just, it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious, but it cuts to the quick, you know, when it comes to the subject of giving. And you have seen these guys before do their videos. They're called the Skit Guys. It's what they do, man. They just write skits and put them out so we can watch them. And this one is called The Skinny on Tithing, okay? So I just want you to sit back and relax, enjoy this. It's okay. You can laugh in church. You know, you're allowed to laugh in church. You can cry in church if you say, oh, my goodness, that's me. I need to, you know, get something right. But, Randy, why don't you go ahead and put that on there for us, make sure we can hear it, everybody can hear it. So clear that screen up there if you would. Okay, there you go.
I give to God by enjoying what he has given me. Okay? I mean, do you really think he expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope. Alright? See, when the church gets passed, I put it in there like that. The deacons count the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, goodness. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows. God does. Huh? Mutual question, huh? How's your mutual fund? For that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Is your door any neat thing in the WALKM, huh? What if I told you a few of an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's guaranteed. And what you're saying, there's no guarantee. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10, so it says in the Old Testament, it says, test me, give to God, and he will give you back. It goes like this, I give this, he gives that. I give this, he gives that. That's just not much in the form of a 10% check per se. I'll tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts. I bought some. Boom. That's a fact. When my Sunday school class wants donuts, and I have the goodness in my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class. Boom. That's another type. That's not about me spending money. The smile on people's faces, that, my friends, is tight enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights so we can take our spouse off for an evening, and they were charging $25 for child care. Boom, shot all at the time. I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear. That, my friends, is tight. I would like to give. I would, okay, but everything right now is just crazy. I mean, crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I needed and wanted, then I would consider giving something. But But you know, it's a hard thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because he needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'll give a little bit more. I'll give a little thumb song if you have that music ministry team a couple more hymns now. Hey, what's this? What's this? Is that Benji? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on, boy. Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Open my life, Lord. Be glorified in me. I put money in the place. Wait, wait, wait. Look what I have here. For a thousand pounds a year. Everyone can hear how I give with cheer. That everyone could be like me.
I think every time I've showed that, someone's left the church. I'm serious. I know of a fact that some people, someone, yeah, you know. So anyway, if you're not here last week, sorry. Anyway, well, let's have a good time here this morning in the Word of God. And you're leaving for a long time, right? 6 months. Well, you'll get over it, sister. I'm sure. Praise the Lord. That's right. Today's Diane and Dave's last Sunday here for a while. They go down to San Diego in the winter. I don't understand why. Who doesn't love to shovel snow, right? And but anyway, we're going to miss you, and we knew that. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And So don't say I'm going to visit Diane next week if you're missing because of the video. All right. Last week we talked about our treasure and our finances, and Randy, I'm going to go through these things quick. So if you can put them up if you want. You don't have to if you don't want to. It might help you stay on top of everything. But I want to keep reminding you these things. There's a method to my quote-unquote madness here. It's a tough subject sometimes to preach on. Not for me. I don't feel like it's a tough subject to preach on, because I believe God rewards us as we give according to His will. And I've got, you know, many, many years. I became a Christian in 1974, and quickly, shortly thereafter, literally started tithing. I came out of a church that preached that. I obeyed, and God has blessed us richly. We literally don't lack for a thing. We want for nothing. And so we're grateful for that. But I've learned some things, and one of them is this, that nothing owns Americans more than money. They get real defensive when you talk about money. They sometimes like to brag about where they live or what they wear, what they drive, you know, and the vacations they take and that sort of thing. But if you start talking to them about how much they give to God, then you went to meddling, and they don't like that kind of stuff. We're a people that are really hung up on our funds and our money. And the second thing, which is so important, and this kind of confuses some people sometimes, is God doesn't need our money. We have in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 the story of David and how his people gave and how God just owns everything. And all we are, we're just stewards managing what He gave us. And whether it's little or much or in between, it's all God's anyway, but He owns it all. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." And if we could ever get that down in our minds and our hearts, that God owns everything, then it's not hard to get let go of what He wants us to give. And the thing that we want to remember is that when we do give, we give the way God wants us to give, and not out of pressure. Listen, not out of guilt. You know, I know there's preachers that will get up and they'll try to make you feel lower than a snake's belly, you know, to get you to give. And I don't like to do that. The harshest I might be is show you the skinny on tithing again next week. Okay? So because there's great benefits to it. And obviously, if God doesn't need our money, then there's got to be something else to it. And you know what I believe it is? It's an avenue that God wants to bless us in. Money is something that's tangible. Time is fleeting. You can measure it to some extent, but when you can get your hands on something and keep track of how much you have or how much you give or how much you lose or how much you earn, that's tangible, so it's easy to chronicle what you're doing with it. And I believe that when we start to manage that money well, God takes care of us. So today our message is part three of who knows how many on our actions in giving. And we talked about how biblical giving begins with your life, and we know that if God doesn't have our heart, He's not going to get anything, so we give Him our life. Biblical giving accomplishes different things. And then last week we started into this section on biblical giving is to be done methodically. And when we give to God methodically, there's four ways that we presented to you. We give individually. As individuals we give. Households give. This ministry, as a ministry, is going to give because we're going to add to what we all gave to Brother Morales. We have money in our missions fund that we want to give to him above and beyond what the offering was. You say, preacher, that's a lot of money. Yeah, well, there's a lot of needs over there. Don't you know if you were over there right now, wouldn't you want someone to be helping you? I would. You know, there's people over there that can't get out of there. And our administration has the nerve to tell them that if you want to get home, you've got to pay for it. Have you heard that? This is insanity. You know, this is where's the spirit of America in these kind of things? But we give individually. We give proportionately, and we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end if we get that far. We want to give cheerfully, no grumps when we give. Nobody frown when the offering plate comes by. Okay. Just say, oh, boy, another opportunity to serve God through my giving. Giving is a form of worship. Did you know that? Clapping your hands after the song, that's a form of worship. Shocked some of you. Okay, It is. It's a form of worship. The trees clap their hands. You know, and God, He expects some things from us as far as worship is concerned. And when we give cheerfully, we're worshiping God with our possessions. And then we were to give systematically, and that's where we're going to take off today and some new ground here this morning. We're going to talk about some things that hopefully will be a blessing to you and maybe clear up some misunderstandings that some people end up with about giving. And you'd be surprised. I've done some, I hate to say it this way, but extra biblical research, you know, gone outside the realm of the Bible to substantiate some things for you and just to show you what mindsets are and things when it comes to this subject. And you've heard the saying, well, you're preaching to the choir. How many of you have heard that, right? And sometimes when you preach on a subject like this to a church like ours, you're preaching to the choir because, by and large, this is a generous church and it gives substantially. But you know what? There's always things that we can learn to do better. Amen. We can tweak some things. And I've asked the Lord throughout this thing, and in particular this past week, as I know what I'm going to be going through here this morning, I said, Lord, you know what? If we're missing something in our giving, Kathy and I, and the way we give, and not just of our finances, but that's the subject at hand. If we're missing something, I want you to convict me and show me what we need to do differently. You know, show us what we're missing here in this great subject. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe that in my early days as a Christian man, before I even thought I'd even be in ministry, that was never on my radar screen when I first got saved. You know, I had other aspirations. But I was so fortunate to be surrounded with pastors in a church that were givers. And it was manifested in their treasure, in their finances, but it was manifested in their lives. How they reached out to me as a fledgling young Christian and not knowing which way was up. Greener than a gourd, not green as a greener than a gourd, you know, and just guys investing in me. And you know, it taught me something about generosity. And that's something that we never want to lose sight of, is how good God is to us. Even on our worst day, He's so kind, good, and generous. Can I get a, you know, some? He's so good. And don't forget that. He's always worthy of our praise and always worthy of our obedience. And one of the things that I learned early on is this business of giving our finances is a way of showing our love, right? For God so loved the world that He gave. And giving, we talked, you know, here we are. This is, I keep tallying it. This is week 28 on stewardship. After 25 lessons, we finally got the money. And it's just amazing, you know, what God's done in this church in these weeks. For a long time, I've never really preached on giving around here. Things were really, really good, sweet, you know. And Randy will tell you because he's been on our board for a long time. Dave's not here today. Chad's moved back to, you know, back in the south there in Mississippi. But I told those guys, I said, man, this year I think it's the year going to be I'm going to preach on stewardship. Go ahead, Pastor, preach on. How many years have I said that, man? Probably 3, 4, 5 years, right? So here we are. So enjoy it, right? I hope it'll do you good. But we're going to talk about, and for just lack of a better way of describing it, I'm going to call it three levels to our systematic giving. You know, there's level one, level two, level three, okay? So first of all, level number one, we want to consider what the Bible calls a tithe. Be honest with me here today. How many of you have heard the word tithe before? Slip up your hand. Let me look around. Okay, just about everybody. Okay, they've heard the word tithe. Now keep that in mind, because the Barna Group, all right, they're a Christian organization that surveys Christian people, evangelical works, and they do a really good job of it. And you can Google them. You can find all kinds of stuff, way much more than information that I'm going to give you. But listen to this. When asked if they knew the term tithe, check this out. 43%. Anybody good at math in here? That's like almost what? Half? Okay. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I thought it was crazy, man. It was really good. It says 4 out of 3 people don't do fractions well. Some of you don't even get that, all right? But no, see, isn't that crazy? But think of this. 43% of all Christians said they were familiar with the term. Only 43? Who's been falling down on the job of preaching the Bible, right? 43% said they were familiar with the term and were able to provide a definition, while 22% had heard the term but weren't sure of the meaning. 36% weren't familiar with it at all. Isn't that crazy? We had someone in our church early on in Las Vegas. This is back in the 1970s. I qualify that. I say the 70s, not the 1870s. But in the 70s, and someone, a new Christian in our church, was reading their Bible, and they came across this thing called a tithe. They didn't even know how to say it. They came to the pastor, and they said, Pastor, what's a tithe? And, oh, that's like a hissy fit. It's a tithe. No, I just, and so we had to explain to you what that was. But in the Bible, a tithe is referred to as our first fruits. Did anybody pick up a word there of succession or order? What kind of fruits? First. Don't lose sight of that. It's our first fruits, okay? And in the Bible, it translates into the same thing as one-tenth. One-tenth of one's increase, okay? Their increase. And, you know, I know we could split hairs on this subject, and I don't want to, you know, get in here and you know, rock your boat. I just want to tell you the truth. But your increase that could come to you in your life could come in a lot of ways other than your weekly, biweekly, monthly paycheck, correct? It can come to you a lot of different ways, the increases that we receive. And I will only say this by example, not to brag or anything like that, but I want you to know only because the Bible says that you're to take your spiritual leadership, and when they exercise faith, you're to follow their faith. How many of you know that verse that says, whose faith follow? You're supposed to follow them. Well, how do you know that I'm doing the right thing? Well, I got 3 men on the board, and a bookkeeper would testify of what we give and how we give and that sort of thing. But I just want you to know this. My salary here is amazing for a small church. It's just an amazing salary that these men have rewarded me with. And I know a lot of it's tenure of doing this for over 45 years and being here for almost 25 years. And, you know, the Bible says a workman's worthy of his hire. And so I appreciate the confidence of these men to give me the salary that they do. But some of that salary also comes in benefits. Okay? The church pays for our medical. And we have some of the best medical coverage in all the world in Samaritan Ministries. It's not insurance. It's a sharing organization where Christians help other Christians to defer their medical expenses. And, you know, as I've gotten older and the miles have accumulated and the wear and tear has taken place, some of you know some of my medical history, and it's not been pleasant. Sometimes I had cancer. And that's gone, all except for some little issues that we're working through right now, which the doctor's not even He's kind of perplexed with that, but don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, it's okay. But I've had cancer. You know, I racked up almost $100,000 on that thing. Can you believe that? And you know what Samaritan did? They paid for all of it. Now, isn't that a blessing? Some of you probably have a program where you got to pay 20 and they'll pay 80. I gave a small deductible because of the type of plan that we're on, and they paid for that. I've had two hip replacements. Two. Now I'm a hipster. You know, and those surgeries aren't cheap. I swear I could have done it myself if I could have stayed awake. I've watched it on YouTube. It's really kind of fascinating. I said, Kathy, you need to watch this thing. I'm not watching that thing. It's amazing how they do that. But they paid for that. And so when the church cuts a check for us every month and sends it out to someone else who has a medical need, and we send that out, we pray for them, we send them a note, you know what we do? We give on that. That's an increase for me. You know, it's easier for me to give at least 10% of that rather than pay the whole thing. Come on now. Right? And that would be, I feel like I'd be cheating God and robbing God if I wasn't paying on that increase. You know, that sort of thing. They pick up insurance for it. They do all kinds of different things. And any, you know what? If I go preach somewhere and someone gives me an honorarium, I don't really have a big parish where I go out and preach at other churches, but once in a while I go somewhere, they give me an honorarium, I will tithe on, at least tithe on that increase. I'll tithe on the room expenses. I'll tithe on the flight that got me there. I just feel like I should. It's an increase. It's something that I get to do because of God's goodness, and so we do that. And the Bible teaches us that we're to give on the increase, not just what your wage is, not just what your salary. So, you know, you settle that with your Lord like we've settled with ours, but that's how we do it. In Exodus 23:19, you don't have to turn there, but it says this, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God." The first of the first fruits. It says on the screen over there, off the top. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say off the top? So you have a paycheck or an increase, and there's a gross amount, right? And you say, yeah, it's really gross. No. You have a gross amount, then you have a net amount. They take out the taxes, right, and all that business, Social Security, and, you know, Medicare, you know, whatever it is that they all take out of that stuff. Okay? Some people say, well, should I give off the top or off the net? I had a person, I'm sure they never really said it, but I'm 99.99999% sure that they left the church because I told him, I said, I think you should give off the top. It's the first fruits. So if I made $100 off the top, what would my tithe be, you math wizards? $10, okay? If I am in a tax bracket where they take off 20% or whatever it is, that means I'm netting $80. A tithe on $80 is how much? $8. It's really not a significant jump. And I tried to explain that to this guy, and he just wouldn't have it. No, it can't be that way. So finally, I just left him with this. I said, look, here's what I'm going to do. If it's my giving, I'm going to give off the top, because be it far from me to give the first fruits to my government instead of my God. And I'm not sure he really liked that, but that's okay. No one was holding his feet to the fire other than what we were saying. No one was Gestapoing him who he was or what and how he was supposed to give. But you know what? You know what I found out? Nothing owns us more than money. So your little $2 difference, I said, how much did you make? I said, and you know what the difference would have been on his weekly paycheck? Less than $10. But I'm not giving off the top. I said, okay, whatever. Okay. So it's the first fruits. It says in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32, concerning the tithe of the herd, the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod. This is an interesting phrase. The tenth, and what is the tenth? It's the tithe. The tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Did you ever think that what we just did 15 minutes ago, when you dropped a piece of paper of some form into that offering plate, was holy? It's holy unto the Lord. Crazy now, isn't it? We've had times in here, you know, sometimes I just like to do things with God's people to see how they'll respond and see what people do. We've taken offerings before when I told people, I said, take your offering right now. And if you're a biweekly giver and this is the week you don't give, don't worry, just hold your hand up. I said, lift your offering up to the Lord. How many have been in church when I've done that before? Take your offering, hold it up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm offering this to you today. Holy hands lifted unto God. Clean conscience. This is the tenth of my increase. Here's my offering unto you. It's holy. Holy, sacred, good, pure, virtuous. What's interesting, if we take our money and do with it the wrong way and covet it earnestly, you know, the money, the love of money is the root of all. It's called filthy what? Lucre. But yet when we take it and sanctify it unto the Lord, it's called holy. Think of that the next time you drop your offering into the offering plate. God, this is a whole, this is for you. This is the very best. The first of my first fruits, I'm offering this to you. Have you ever read Malachi? For those of you from Southern Europe, that's Malachi. Okay. The book of Malachi. He says, offer to the governor a sacrifice that's lame, that's blind, that's crippled, and see if he'll accept it. I wonder how many times we've offered offerings to the Lord that were lame. Right? You get what I'm saying? There's principles there that govern how we're to do this. There would be those who might dispute the idea of tithing. And they would feel and say that, well, Pastor, you know the Bible well enough to know that tithing is Old Testament principle. It's the law. It's the law, see? But I bet some people don't even know that tithing was practiced before the law. Does anybody know that? Tithing went on before the law. Oh, what about? I had to put that in there when I was working on it. Oh, really? Really? People use that as, oh, no, Pastor, the New Testament doesn't say anything about tithing, and they're right. But tithing's the law. No, it's before the law, too. I don't have the time to turn to these, but in Genesis chapter 14, validated in Hebrews chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Abram. Does anybody know who Abram was? Abraham. That's before his name changed, okay? Abraham. He went out, and he fought a battle to rescue his nephew, Lot, his name was Lot, and from the enemy, and he rescued him, and when he came back, there's this strange figure in the Old Testament that nobody seems to be able to put their finger on who this guy is. His name is Melchizedek. Any of you heard of Melchizedek before? Without descendant, no father, no mother. Almost makes you sound like, ooh, it could be somebody, doesn't it? But when Abram came back, it says he offered tithes to the king of Salem, Jerusalem. So he offered him tithe before the law, without even being required. He just gave it. Somehow he knew that and did that. That's the first mention of tithing in your Bible. In Genesis chapter 8, there's a man by the name of Jacob. How many have heard of Jacob before? Jacob. So what's Jacob do? Jacob makes a vow to God, and he says, look, God, if you'll take care of me and you'll provide for me and so that I don't ever even have anything, I promise you I will give you a tenth of all I own. Before the law. Isn't that crazy? I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 3. We're not going to get out of here today without at least looking at our Bible, but go to Proverbs chapter 3. You'll recognize these verses right away. We believe these verses. They're so powerful and potent. In Proverbs chapter 3, as you look at these verses, we see something interesting. This is in the Old Testament. Sure, it really is. And we're going to talk to you about that in just a second. But this one passage, just these five or six verses here, shows God's command, His response, and His reward when we obey these principles. Look at Proverbs 3, and let's go down to verse 5. You follow along with me as I read aloud. Trust in the Lord with half your heart. No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, I know there's some people you and I couldn't trust, right? Hopefully we can trust each other. But, man, you cannot get away with not trusting God. He's God. And so here the writer of Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We've discussed that many times. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. What's your navel? It's this little squirrely thing here on your stomach, but what happened with that navel before you were born? You were nourished through that umbilical cord, right? Is that too much biology here today for all of you? Okay. That's what that's for. And, you know, and look what he says. This way, when you acknowledge God to direct your path and do what you're doing, he says it's going to be health to your navel and marrow to the bones. Hey, how many of you know your marrow makes your red blood cells? Sometimes you can get cancer in that marrow and you have to have a bone marrow transplant. Boy, that's serious cancer right there. Something like that. But it's all dealing with your well-being. God says, look, you do these things, you trust in me, you listen to me, I'll direct your path. Just say, I'm going to be blessing you. That's what this verse is talking. These verses are talking about. And then it says in 9, God just throws this little icing on the cake right here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of what? Say it with me. All thine increase. See, I didn't make that up. I have no ulterior motives for this. My motive is that you will learn, and I will learn, if we're not, to do what God wants us to do with what we are and what we have. Amen? That's fair shake. And notice the promise in verse 10. When you do that, you honor the Lord with thy substance, when you trust in him, when you depart from evil, all those things that are prerequisites to this, look what he says, 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what that is? That's abundance. Anybody ever heard of the abundant Christian life? Where you can be living in the blessings of Almighty God? There's a method to God's madness, if you please, that if we honor him with our treasure, our first fruits, the things are increased. He says, look, I want to bless your life. Your life. Okay? And that's what he does. Now, I will yield the floor to that crowd that says, well, tithing's not in your New Testament, Pastor. And I said, no, it's not really there at all. But go to Romans chapter 15, if you would. These verses are. Nothing on tithing in there, but these verses are in there. In fact, they're close together, so let's get them both. Let's get Romans chapter 15 on one hand. Okay, Romans chapter 15 on one. And then let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 10 on the other. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 4. The Apostle Paul writing to believers like you and me. He says this in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. What's he referring to there? Past writings, right? Behind. The Old Testament. That's what he's talking about here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, it's a crazy thing. I've met people, even in this day and age, that say, oh, I don't read much of that Old Testament, Pastor. I live in an age of grace. Look what you're missing, what 15:4 says. It's for your learning. Okay, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 11. There's a whole dissertation about God's people, how they rose up in idolatry and murmured against God in these first 10 verses. But look at verse 11. Now all these things, the things that he writes about in 10 verses, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. An admonition is a mild reproof. Teaching you something. We learn that Christians shouldn't murmur because God judges Israel when they murmured, right? So, see, that's what he's saying here. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, what am I trying to tell you? You know what? There's principles in the Old Testament that you can apply, even though you're not going to build your doctrine on them. And shame on us if we don't. The Barna Group, in that same survey that I gave you that information from before, came up with some other statistics. And this is rather revealing. And I want you to listen. And Randy, I got a list of those that come up, right? They're, okay, all right. So first of all, let me just say this. Here's the first one. Number one, 21% of all Christians, and I'm going to put in parentheses in what I'm saying, and we're going to clarify this in just a few minutes, so just hang on, but think of where this is going. There are Christians who are practicing Christians and non-practicing Christians. Everybody know what I'm talking about? There are people that profess to be Christians and try to live the Christian life. Then there's also people who say they're Christians, but yeah, you know what, it's just not their thing. Oh yeah, but I'm a Christian, you know, that's okay. So all of them lumped together, Barna came up with 21% of all Christians tithe. Well, that's better than what we read before. That's almost 25%. If you're one of the 4 out of 3 that don't do fractions well, that won't matter, okay? Nearly the same number, they came up with 25%, do not provide financial support to their church or house of faith. So it's almost a split. 21 do, 25 don't. That leaves us 54% of the respondents said they donate to their church, but here's how they give. Interesting, isn't it? They give this way. 37%, which is a large figure, do not set a specific amount each year, which would probably break down each week or each month or biweekly, you know, and I know people get paid different ways. But think of that. 37% don't have a specific amount that they give. What did we say? It's to be done how? Methodically, not haphazardly. Oh, I got a 20 spot. Here, God, here's a 20. Has no relativity to your increase whatsoever. It's just that this is something I should do. You know, that sort of thing. 9% consistently give less than 10% of their income. And 8% establish a different level of giving each year. Okay? So what is a practicing Christian? Boy, this is pretty generous how they define a practicing Christian. This is almost embarrassing. I wouldn't define it this way, but what does that make me? You know, some puffed up, egotistical religious zealot? But here's what they say. A practicing Christian is someone who attends once a month. That's kind of pathetic, isn't it? Practicing Christian attends once a month. A non-practicing Christian is someone who professes but doesn't participate. I don't know how many people I have met over the years. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. How'd you get saved? Well, I trusted Jesus. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go. I don't believe in organized religion. Well, I don't either. I'm glad we're on the same page there. But how's your relationship? Oh, it's great. You know, I read my body. Okay. Well, people like they have no concept of what the body of Christ is and how Jesus died for the church. You know, that sort of thing. But that's neither here nor there. That's a whole different subject. 42% of the actual, you know, the real deal practicing Christians, this is good to some extent, set their annual church donations at 10% or more. So it's a minimum of 10, okay, compared to 16% of non-practicing Christians, which I'm surprised it's even that high. If they're not practicing, if they're not attending, then why would they support any work? Other than out of superstition, religiosity. Is that a word? It is today. So religiosity. What also I've learned about people who give faithfully to the Lord through their local church is this is a test of their right relationship between them and their church. When they give at least 10%, they tithe. You say, but Pastor, you know, we've got that little issue there, you know, it's Old Testament and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's a goal why we want people to give. You know, this institution here is a body of believers. It's an organism, but it's also an organization. And it has to function. We are on Kootenai Electric out here. How many of you know, heard of Kootenai Electric? We have a Vista Gas that rolls into the building over here. We have a well which we can irrigate from, but the water that we drink in here and we use in our kitchen and everything like that comes from Hayden Lake Irrigation District. You know, when we started this church and came to this property, none of them said to me, "Oh, Pastor, we're so glad you're here. You know what? You never have to pay any of these bills because you're a church." And, you know, in churches, people are always asking for your money, and we don't want you to, because that's what they do in church, right? They always ask for. How many of you have heard that before? That's all they preach on. Oh, I was sure hoping a visitor would be here today. Every time I go to that church, once, they preach on money. That would be funny, wouldn't it? I think it'd be hilarious. But we have to pay our bills just like you do. Okay? So we made a little list here of things that this goal of tithing is for. And there it is on the screen. You can see it. Transform lives by funding the general budget. It's the daily operation of the church. There's debt retirement. There's utilities. There's office expenses. There's maintenance. There's general upkeep. There's salaries. All this has to come into play. And then what this does, is we put it this way, it assures the smooth, uninterrupted functioning of the local church. Now, I think whether the weather's bad or whether it's good, you should still come to church, and it's providentially hindered. So when it's 30 below this winter and you come in here, maybe it'll be at least 60 degrees in here. I'm not much one for heat. Yeah. Okay. Bring a sweater, right? But I'm kidding. Isn't it nice? You know, if there's one place where you can go, that it should be safe, right? And it should be worth going there because it's climatically controlled for a good. It ought to be your church. Wouldn't it just be awful if you walked in here and there were no lights, no electricity, no heat? Hey, how about no pastor? What? Oh, he had to work today. Praise the Lord, those days are gone. I never took a job on Sunday unless it didn't conflict with Sunday morning. But God has allowed us, after being here all these years, now to be full-time in ministry, where for a lot of years I wasn't. I was bivocational. I was working 40 hours out there and 40-plus in here. But God has blessed the faithfulness through His people, and we appreciate that. But it comes along here, and someone says, well, what about... why do you think that New Testament Christians ought to tithe if it's not in there? Well, you know what the Bible does say about us, the way we give? It says we're to give as we're prospered. We looked at that last week. As we're prospered. How did someone get to heaven under the Mosaic Law? What was their motivation primarily? It wasn't love, I can tell you that. It was obligation and fear. That if they didn't do this, that, or the other thing, and they died in their sin, God would condemn them to a Christless, godless eternity. That's how it worked. And under that, quote-unquote, economy, He demanded that they give a tithe. How many of you are glad for grace today? How about mercy? I mean, honestly, I thank God every day for His mercy that He never has, never will He give me more than, give me what I deserve because of His mercy. Do you know what we would all be doing right now if God was not merciful? We would all be dead, we'd all be burning in hell, and we'd all be saying amen to the judgment of God. I deserve to be here. Now, I know that rubs self-righteous people the wrong way, but that's the truth. I don't know if you've read your Bible, but does anybody know what the wages of sin are, even in the Biden economy? Death. Do you know the first time that you and I sinned, we could have died? Right? The wage. But His mercy said, no, you know what, I'm going to keep you alive. Kurt, I'm going to keep you alive till you're 21 years old so you can hear the gospel clearly and receive my Son as your Savior. I'm so thankful for that. Because I've known people who have died before they were 21. Don't you? And here we sit 50 years after that. And you know what God's done for all those 5 decades? He's never given me what I deserved in that regard. I don't have to keep the law. I really don't have to do anything if I don't want to do it. I have a free will. Y'all tracking me on this thing? The Bible says two times, all things are lawful for me. I have got such liberty in Christ that all things are lawful. All things. You know what that includes? All things. But he says, but they're not all expedient. They're not going to do me all good. They're not necessary that I do them. All things are lawful to me. But he says, look, I won't be brought under the power of these things. So you know what? Through wisdom and understanding and discernment that God gives you from reading His Bible, you can decide what you're going to do because you have a free will and how you're going to do it or what you're not going to do and why you're not going to do it. But never once should fear be your motivation or obligation. What should be? One four-letter word describes God to the uttermost, and that's what would motivate us to live the Christian life the right way. You know what that word is? Someone said it. It's love. It's love. Let's be real here for a second. I feel like I've been real all morning, but let's be real for a second. Who in here is deserving of the love of God? Right? You better sit on if you're trying to put one up, because none of us are worthy of His love. None of us are worthy of His mercy. It's only by His innate nature of who He is as God who is love. God is love, the Bible says. And God, you know, loves us so much that He took our sin upon Himself through His Son, and now He says, look, just love me back. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but I feel pretty prosperous with that. And look, whether I'm making $100 a week or $10,000 a week, which I'm not making that much, by the way, I'm going to give God, this is just me personally, because I'm so prosperous. I'm not bound by that law. I'm not obligated to give Him anything. But because of His love, His goodness, and His mercy, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to honor Him bare minimum with what He required in the Old Testament, the tithe. Bare minimum. I'm a pretty prosperous guy here today. I don't know how you feel about your prosperity with God. Well, I should be making more than I should. Well, then get out and work. Get a different job. Work harder. You know, the Bible talks about with such things as you have, that's what you're supposed to be content with. If that's the way it is for right now, then be glad with it and thank God for it and move on. You can always climb the ladder. Dig up some initiative. Right? What's wrong with that? That sounds so un-American. Well, in this generation, it does. Why should I work hard when I can sit home and get a check from the government? And I'm not talking about you retired folks. I get a Social Security check. I'm thankful for it. That's an increase for me. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm not going to tithe on the Social Security because I've already tithed on that money. Well, be my guest. Do what you want to do. I'm tithing on mine, at least. I could care less. I mean, I care. Don't misunderstand. I care. That's between you and your God. And you know what? As long as they're going to keep giving that to me, I'm going to keep giving to God. Because you know what? It could go dry someday, right? All these threats and things like that. So we're to give as we're prospered. If anyone thinks it would have been easier to give that tithe because you were obligated to give it rather than just voluntarily give it, come see me after church. I'd love to hear your justification of that. I don't like living under that umbrella of obligation. I don't know about you. I like what the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God blesses our management of liberty. He really, really does. All right, so the tithe is for management. That's what we said. The offerings are for ministry. That's the second level. The offering is for that person, that individual, that family who's growing in God's grace and maturing. And now they give above and beyond their tithe to support the things that they do in ministry together with others. How many of you have heard the phrase tithes and offerings? Tithes and offerings. They're not the same. The tithes were the requirement, the first fruits. The offerings were above and beyond that. There were all kinds of different offerings that they were to offer. Thanksgiving offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, you know, things like that. When we give an offering, not the tithe, we've already given the tithe. When we give an offering, we're seeking to expand the ministries of our local church. This would include such things as maybe enhancing our Sunday school, establishing, maintaining a youth group? How about Daily Vacation Bible School? We never once took an offering for Daily Vacation Bible School because we didn't really need to. It was, the money was there. God's been so good to us that we... And you know what? I just tell you, Natalie, she ran the thing. She could vouch for this. We spent a ton of money on Daily Vacation Bible School. And money well invested. We had a couple kids get saved. We had an impact on some people's lives. And only God knows where that's going to lead. But see, that's expanding the ministries of this church. Young adults, singles, seniors, reaching out to the community in all kinds of different ways. Or right now, we have a school downstairs that meets Monday through Thursday. And so let's say you give to your local church, your quote-unquote tithe, and you're feeling a little bit generous. You say, you know what, I want to give an offering. You know what, we've got people in this church that give to the school. And it's probably a good thing because the school's not solvent. It's not. We don't have enough kids to pay salaries in our school. But you know what? Some people give offerings toward the school. And then we also, if we have to, and we haven't had to yet this year, we will take it out of the church because you know what Ramsey Road Christian Academy is? It's a ministry of Ramsey Road Bible Church. I don't have a problem with that. The ideal situation would be to have an enrollment that would justify paying all the salaries and give our teachers what they're worth. So we do that together. That's an offering. That's above and beyond. And then there's this third category, which this is really, really, really something else when you get to this one. That's what we call sacrificial giving. You say, well, Pastor, it's all a sacrifice for me. Well, maybe it is. Well, praise the Lord. At least obey God. Sacrificial giving is for those who continue to grow in grace, the grace of giving, and now they go above and beyond their tithing or offering and give sacrificially to support someone else in a mission endeavor of the church. Sacrificial giving is for those with spiritual vision who are willing to sacrifice to help someone either sent out or approved by their church on a mission field where they themselves cannot go. So we support right now 12 missionaries. We're going to take on a 13th. And here this next time the checks go out on November 1, we're going to take on another missionary, and we're looking to take on two more missionaries, actually. And so how do we fund those missionaries? Okay, here's what Kurt and Kathy did today. This is our day for missions. We put in our general fund offering. We gave on the increase of all that we have. We gave that and designate that on our envelope, general. That's management. We gave our offering, we give to missions once a month. This is our regular, what we call missions giving. So we put that on the envelope. It goes to missions. And then the church takes that money, as Randy would vouch for that, and John, our newest board member, would vouch. Dave's not here. Then that money gets divided up amongst the missionaries systematically on a regular basis, six times a year, they get a check. So we give our offering, we give our tithe, if you please, the general. We give our offering to missions, and which is actually the sacrificial. That I'm giving them to you out of order. But the second one we give to the school every month. You say, well, Kathy works in the school. Yeah, I know, but we give back to the school. I work in a church, so I give back to the church. So that sort of thing. And so that's how we do it. Those are the three levels. I'm not going to tell you that you ought to consider doing these three levels if I'm not doing it first. And so that's what we do. You know, Matthew chapter 28 is an interesting passage of Scripture. Go back there. We'll kind of close this thing up for today. Matthew 28. Let's go way back to the end of the chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 18. Follow along with me. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. These are his disciples. And this is what he says. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Aren't you glad for that today? That you have a Savior that has all the power there could ever be in this universe. All the power. Because of that, he says, go ye therefore. Every time you see the therefore, see what it's there for. He's telling you that because there's something he wants us to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching is evangelism. Baptizing them is obedience. When they receive Christ, they get baptized. In 20 is discipleship. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's for all of us. Chris Morales is in Israel. I'm not in Israel, but I have an obligation to reach Israel. Because I'm to go into what part of the world? All the world. We have strategically taken on missionaries that are essentially in all these different continents, you know, and things like that. So we're trying to do this systematically to reach the peoples of these lands. But you and I can't go there. I'm not sure I'd want to go there right now, right? I mean, we have an anniversary trip that's planned to go to Israel next week, which is on hold right now, and it doesn't bother me that it's on hold. In fact, I've already told them I want to cancel. I'm not going to go over there right now. I got to look over my shoulder here. Why do I want to go over there and look over my shoulder, right? But did you go live there? You better be called to God, right? Or Brother Paul in Moldova. Brother Serino up in the high Arctic. Very little talked about Brother Jeff Gross, who's over in Thailand. All these different missionaries that we support. We talk about Paul Victor going up into Northeast India to where they're killing pastors. Do you know what? I'm going to say this thing facetiously, so to speak. It's worth it to me to support these guys. If for no other reason, I don't have to go there. You think about that. Who in here would upend your whole life right now and go to India if God says, hey, go to India? See, I'm a little bit too old for that. Do you know Dennis Wells, before he went to New Guinea, was in his 40s when God called him to the mission field? And spent nearly 30-plus years in that field over there and started, I don't know how many churches, built hospitals, reached those highland people, the savages, the cannibals, whoever God put in his path. Working for a high-paying job for an engineering company, world-renowned engineering company in Boise. And God says, I'd really like you to go to New Guinea. But I got these three boys. I got a wife. Yeah, I'll take care of you. And you know what? We're supporting one of his boys now because Dennis is back. His wife passed away. He's back from the mission field. He's the missions pastor at Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Marie and Idaho. We're supporting his boy, Chad, who's in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill trying to reach the swamp and anybody else that God puts in there. Isn't that awesome? That's why you obey God. Your kids grow up and they go to the mission field. His other son, Chad, we're going to start supporting him, who stayed in New Guinea. That's what you do when you love God. You listen, you obey. But you know what? Some of us are never going to call us further than our street and our community, our county, or our state. But that does not take away the responsibility for us to reach the world, so we go through missions. So we start off with a tithe. Why a tithe? Because it's a good indicator of who we are before God. And if they had to give it under obligation in the Old Testament, my goodness. Who can balk at not doing that in the New Testament times? But some people do. And I hope it's not you. I mean, you know, no love lost between you and me. You know what my goal is on this stuff? I want to show up at the judgment seat of Christ doing the best I knew what I was supposed to be doing, teaching you what I believe to be right, and so we can all walk away from that thing and, you know, take as few lumps as possible and get on with eternity. Amen? I've told you this before, but you'd have to know this guy to appreciate what I'm going to say. He's a great evangelistic preacher, and we were friends and for many, many years, and he never lived long enough to come here and be in our church, but he's come to our church in Las Vegas all the time, and this guy's a preaching machine, man. He put the power to the Word of God, and God would just use him and stir up the whole congregation and things like that. And he told us one day, he said, yeah, man, I'm... He was kind of a rough guy. He was, I'll tell you what I'm doing, preacher. I'm just going to roll my big ball of wax up to the judgment seat of Christ for the great meltdown and see what I have left. If anybody know about what the judgment seat of Christ is all about, you know that's what we're going to do, right? We're going to take this thing called life, how we lived it as a Christian, and we're going to roll that thing before God. And there's going to be this big all fire that's going to try the hearts and that thing. And if there's anything left, we're going to walk away with some rewards. If it burns up like a bunch of rubber tires and it's black smoke, we'll get in, like it says, saved so as by fire. I call it sifted but saved. All right. But that's our aim. That's our goal. Okay. So we give that tithe for management. We give the offerings for ministry, for things to happen around here. And we give the missions because that's a sacrifice. You know what? Some of us, because we give the missions, you've given the missions, we're going to get to heaven. Someone's going to figure it all out. They're going to come up to you and say, "Boy, I want to thank you that you supported my pastor over there in India. And, you know, when you did that, I got saved. I went to their Christian school and I grew up in a Christian home because you supported my pastor in India." This is us in America. How many of you know what I'm doing? We're just so excited, like, you know, we don't have vision. We're just honed in on everything about us. They even got stores now. It's all about me. No, it's about him. It's about him and how he wants us to live. And how he wants us to give and be givers like him. Father, you are amazingly good. And when I start to think in those quiet...